Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com. Welcome, Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, listeners and friends. You are very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers here on irishtalkers.com. Now, what do I have to tell you? Yes, you can find us on Facebook as the Talk Show for Talkers. And of course, our website is irishtalkers.com and our email address where you can send us your evaluations, your questions, your feedback is info@irishtalkers.com. My name is Moira O'Brien. I'm joined today by the prolific Paul O'Mahony. Paul, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Moira, and thank you very much, listeners. We're getting an increasing number of listeners, and we're very privileged to have you in particular on the show with us today.
This is very true. I'm glad to say that our listenership, well, I don't know, we're up nearly 50,000 listens on our channel, which is really very, very, very heartwarming. We have a decent show for you today. Well, we always have decent shows, but today is going to be just Paul.
Sorry, Moira, to be decent is to have clothing on, is it not?
Well, if you take that particular view of the word, then of course. But are we going to get into semantics?
An indecent show, would that be? I'm being a grammarian now when I'm talking about decency, but
you're being
on.
A semanticist, if there's such a word.
Sorry.
Semantics is the art of language? I don't know. But anyway, you're being semantical.
It's a bit of an insult to call somebody semantic, but we better move on.
We had indeed. We are moving on. Now, what do we have on the show this week? As you know, we have four segments to our show. Today is, well, it's just a bit of chatter really, isn't it? But we have a word of the week and we have a thought for the week. In part two, which is tomorrow, we'll be bringing you an audio from no other than Mr. Edward Gates. Edward Gates? I guess he's Edward. Anyway, no, not.
Well, we don't know what was on his birth certificate, buddy.
It's Bill.
Bill.
I shall have to edit that out. Right, so in part two, we'll be bringing you a video from TED Talks. From Bill Gates. I'm chuckling, folks, because I got thoroughly confused between Ted and Bill. Oh, dear. So Bill Gates gave a short TED talk. Short is only 10 minutes, but it gave some very good tips on public speaking. So we'll be listening to that. In part three, Paul is posing a question to us this time. Have you pride in your club? And in part four, I'm going to be looking at even more ways that you can enhance your speech. So let's dive in with Ted's thought for the week. And that is not Ted as in technology, education, and what's the D for? Can you remember, Paul? Design. Technology, education and design. That TED. No, I mean from Ted Milampi, who has chosen the word, the thought for the week. And it's from our good friend Nelson Mandela, who said, a winner is a dreamer who never gives up. A winner is a dreamer who never gives up. Paul, you're a dreamer. Are you also a winner?
Well, the interesting thing about that, Moira, for me is to be playful with it. A winner is a dreamer who never wakes up. Yes, that's a good point. A dreamer who never wakes up. Because a dreamer who never gives up is a gives up dreaming. So I'm guessing that that means a dreamer who never wakes up. Now, I'm sure Nelson Mandela didn't mean that at all. And it meant somebody who had a vision that they were hoping to realize, and somebody who had, in Martin Luther King's words, I had a dream. So if we take Martin Luther King's words, I had a dream, and we say that Martin Luther King was a winner, it meant that he was a dreamer who never gave up. Persistence, stamina, yes. Even longevity.
Well, Paul, obviously what you were doing there was taking the word dreamer literally, that someone who is asleep and dreams, as I did last night. I had a very interesting dream last night, actually. I wish I could remember it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But a dreamer in this context is somebody who has ideas, who can imagine as a daydream, if you like, things that they would love to be able to do or things that they would love to see happen. And that type of dreamer can be a winner if they never give up. Perseverance, persistence and perseverance are the keys, I think, in that text, in that context.
So, I think, Paul, it also elevates the idea of somebody who never gives up to the status of somebody who is maintains an effort, sometimes called a trier. He's a real stayer, a real trier. But there is a real virtue in keeping up the effort to achieve something and not giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Another virtue in giving up at the right time, but we'd get tie ourselves up in knots if we go down that road. But I find myself that this word dreamer is thrown about too frequently. People talk about, what are your dreams, Moira? And all it really means is, what do you hope you're going to get soon?
So it's a convenient word to use, though. You have to admit that.
Convenience and fashion are often justify each other. Yes, I can see the point. But if somebody says, you know, what kind of a holiday do you dream of, Moira? It's ambiguous, because it's either,
yes,
you know,
but that's a context in which I wouldn't dream of dreaming. Sorry, that slipped out. I wouldn't dream of. Oh, I can't get over that, can I? You see, that's how we use the word dream. It's not a literal.
In Toastmasters, we encourage precision in language rather than cliches, and got to be kind of a little bit attentive to the risk that the word dream could be part of a cliche. If I say to you, Maura, what would be your dream holiday? That's often asked. Or what would be your dream Christmas present?
Yeah, I agreed. But there are contexts in which it is not specific enough, or not is too airy-fairy, let's put it that way. But come back to this word cliche. Define cliche to me. What is a cliche?
A cliche is usually a phrase which has been used so frequently that it has become useless as a way of drawing people's attention to what you're attempting to communicate.
Okay, now I take that. That's far enough. You don't need to go into more detail. That's a good enough explanation. But when does it become, how can I put this kindly? When does a cliche become something that is a definite no-no? Let's put it that way. So, for example, I know there are certain cliches which we use. I'm going to use one now, without further ado, which nobody actually knows what ado means, but they use it ad nauseam. Now, I take that as being a cliche, which you should never use. I grant you that. But
well, it is said, I've read it written by other people, that behind every cliche, there is a truth.
Mm.
So there is actually something there. To say to somebody, I've got to leave you without delay, or to say to somebody, I've got to leave you without more ado, well, both of them will work depending upon the circumstances. But if you want to, you know, maintain a certain punch to your language, you better use the word delay rather than without more ado or something. There was, of course, the Shakespeare play, Much Ado About Nothing. Do you think we should talk about something that bends and mutes into something else? You see, we're talking about how a cliche, something can become a cliche. Because there was a character in Greek mythology who gave rise to a word in the English language, and he was the original master of, you could say disguise, but maybe the master of morphing from one state to another. And his name is Morpheus, a Greek old shepherd. He was a shepherd of Poseidon, that's the sea gods, sea creatures, and he possessed the gift of prophecy, but he didn't like to share his knowledge. He'd escape everybody who wanted to ask him questions by changing his shape, so he'd morph into other things. And the only way to get a straight answer out of him was to sneak up behind him and while he was asleep and hold him while he tried ever so hard to change into something else, until he eventually revealed what he knew. So this is a creature, a god, who has the ability to be like a kind of a bit like a chameleon, change. But he could do it pretty quickly. And out of that comes a word into the English language, which I think was first used, if I remember rightly, in the 16th century, called protean, P-R-O-T-E-A-N. Protean, and it means something that's is changeable, mutable, adaptable, variable. And you can say that we're in a protean situation where any number of different things could happen. You can also, to a certain extent, call an individual a protean. Now, it's not a word that you would come across very frequently. The reason I'm bringing it into today is that the chief medical officer, if that's his title, in the United States, referred to the COVID-19 virus as a protean virus. Now, if you think, and this is what he said this a few days ago, and of course, hardly anybody listening to him had a clue what he meant. But of course, this is a virus which has the ability to morph. So it'll actually be very, very hard to tie down, as Proteus was. So it's a good word to know, not just useful for Scrabble, but you can actually say, now that you've heard it on Talk Show for Talkers, as Dr. I wish I could remember his name, said, the virus is protean, and I'm inclined to agree with him. It's and we do need to, you know, bear the words of or the behavior of Proteus in mind as we're dealing with this new situation, as we go to change the arrangements for our club. We need to be adaptable.
Paul, on that note, I shall not morph. No, you've got me going. Is there a verb? So we have to go back to morph. We'll end this segment and invite you to join us again tomorrow, when we'll be bringing you the words of wisdom from Bill Gates. I'll see you then. The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.